The gospel reading, John chapter 10, verse 7, and this is also the text for this morning's sermon. Jesus said again to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." So in this context, Jesus is talking about the shepherd, a shepherd that would take care of sheep. And there were two places, basically, that sheep would graze. One was near a town and village. And, of course, they were safe during the day because it was daylight, and the shepherd made sure they were okay. He would keep watch over the flock. But at night, because it was dark, it wasn't easy for the shepherd to make sure the sheep were safe. And so he would find an entranceway into a village or town, and they would go into that entranceway, and they would stay in the village or town, and he would safeguard that entranceway, that door, to make sure that no predators, especially wolves, came in and would destroy the sheep. The other image we have is the good shepherd, the shepherd watching over the sheep out in the middle of nowhere in a large pasture. And what the shepherd would do, as the sheep were grazing during the day and he'd keep an eye on them, he would build a huge corral and he would make it pretty strong and pretty tall, oftentimes out of hay, but sometimes, yes, even out of wood and stone. And he would make sure it was built and completed. And finally, when it was time for the sheep at the end of the day to go into that corral, he would make an entranceway, a door, if you will, and they would go into that entranceway and they'd find safety and protection. And this is what the shepherd did. He actually laid down his body in front of the entranceway to make sure that no predator could get the sheep. And then Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep." What did he mean by that? That we are sheep and the good shepherd is Jesus Christ. And he said, "I am the door." Now we got a picture here of ancient doors of Europe. And you see they come in different shapes and colors, but they all have one purpose. When you go through the door, you find entranceway into that home or into that building. Most doors are found on homes, right? And so today we're going to be talking about what happens when you enter the door, both of a home and the door of our faith, namely Jesus Christ, okay? And that comes to our first point that I want you to write down. What is the door of our spiritual life? The door is Jesus. We understand that. Because we've broken God's commands, the commands of God had to be satisfied and fulfilled. And Jesus Christ kept the commands of God in our place. Not only that, he was a holy, perfect, unblemished sacrifice for our sin when he was lifted up on the cross. And God laid our sin on his son, punishing his son instead of us. And then 3 days later, what happened? You tell me. What happened 3 days later? He rose from the dead to defeat death. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he who lives and believes in me shall never die." Jesus Christ said, "I lived, I died, I rose again, so that all those who trust in me, all those who come through my door by faith," that's the second point, "by faith will have access way to God, will have this relationship with God. We'll have their sins forgiven. We'll be heirs of eternal life." But here's the problem. There's a lot of life to be lived until then. And so with Jesus as the door of our faith, what is it? What happens to us? What do we find when we enter a door, whether it's in a home or whether it's through our faith in Jesus Christ? What happens? When you enter the door, you have shelter. When you enter the door, you have shelter. Many of you have driven in driving rainstorms or in driving snowstorms, right? How many of you have driven in those kind of conditions? Raise your hand, okay? And you couldn't wait to get home. And finally, when you pulled into your driveway or into your garage, you opened up, listen to this, you opened up the door, and what did you sense? What did you feel? Safety, protection, shelter. 2 weeks ago, on Tuesdays, I usually stay at home and I study my sermon, work on my sermon, and I love that. But 2 weeks ago, we had this horrible hailstorm in Firestone, Colorado. And I was looking out the window, and the hail was pelting against the window and pelting against the house. I guess our house was, the roof was destroyed and all this stuff. I was so glad that I was in the house where I was safe. We go through some difficult storms in everyday life, don't we? The loss of a job, or the loss of a loved one, or a fractured or broken relationship, or a diagnosis of cancer, or something that is so tragic in your life, every time you think of it, tears well up your eyes. And do we not need a shelter from the storms of life during times like that? Jesus Christ is it. He's the shelter in the storms of life. I think of a young lady who about 10 days ago lost her mother. And as I was ministering to her, as her mother was going downhill and was ready to go be with the Lord, this young lady said, I don't know how people get through this without Jesus Christ as their shelter and protection. I don't know how they cope. I don't know how they deal with it, because it surely isn't easy. And all I could say was a yes and amen. And Pastor Tim, just a few days before then, was talking about all the difficult things that we see in the newspaper and read about in the news and hear about on the news, and how all these horrific things can rob us of the joy of life unless we find our shelter, consolation, security, and comfort under the arms of Jesus Christ. Amen? I ministered to a young lady, 93 years old, whose husband died just 2 months ago. Her name is Lorene Meyer. When she and Bob were married early in their life, their 11-year-old died of leukemia, of cancer. So she'd been through a couple horrific losses. And I asked her, how did you cope with that? And she said, the Lord is my refuge and strength. He's my shelter during the storms of life. If you believe that Jesus Christ is your shelter in the storms of life, can I get an amen? I mean, we face adversity, we face difficulty, we face tragedies, we face problems, but Jesus Christ shelters us, is our consolation, our peace, our comfort, our joy. Jesus said it best when he said, come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When the storms of adversity blow in your life, is it not great to just sit in the arms of Jesus? And just like on a stormy night when you enter the door and you come into your home, you can just go, ah. Where else are we going to go? I think of Jesus, who said to his disciples after he said, you must eat my body and drink my blood, and people walked away from that, and he asked his disciples, are you going to leave me too? And what did Peter say? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. In other words, you're my shelter in the storms of life. So when we go through the door of Jesus Christ, we find shelter. When we go through the door, we find family. We find family. Isn't it wonderful if you have a wonderful family to come home and receive a word of encouragement or a wonderful hug or a great greeting? How many of you watched Leave It to Beaver when you were growing up, okay? And maybe it's still on TV, you know, it's still, you know, my wife is Barbara Billingsley, whatever. She's like that. I mean, I come home, she greets me, she gives me a hug, she gives me a word of encouragement. No matter what my day has been like, I want to come home. I love my family. Most of my family is here today. Isn't it great if you have a wonderful family to go home and receive a hug, a word of encouragement, people who overlook your faults and shortcomings and love you just the way you are? So it is in the body of believers, in the church. Many people have said down through the years, this is my extended family, Peace Lutheran Church. I talked to a dear friend of mine who became a Christian 15 years ago, and ever since then, he's been so connected to this church. He loves this place. And he said, Dave, I try to get to church early, 15 to 20 minutes early, because I want to see my family. I want to see my brothers and my sisters in Christ. I had kind of a tough week, and sometimes as a pastor, you don't always please people. Sometimes people will criticize. And there's a guy that I talk to pretty regularly, pretty consistently, when I'm being battered like that. And you know what? That guy said, hey, we're family. We're there for one another. I'm here to encourage you. We go through hard times as followers of Jesus. We're buffeted by the storms of life, as we said before. And to lean on one another, to gain encouragement and strength from one another as family, is a powerful thing. I can't imagine not having it. You see, the church is not, listen to this, a rest home for saints. It's a hospital for sinners, amen? We come into this place broken and battered and bruised and beat up. But we come into this place, and hopefully you'll see a friendly face, a warm embrace, a word of encouragement that knits us together. That's what the church is all about. It is not a rest home for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. And I love this analogy. It's not a cruise ship. What do you do when you go on a cruise? You just sit back and eat some more, and sleep and eat some more, and then eat some more, and everybody is serving you. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a cruise ship. It's a battleship. We're fighting the old evil foe. We're fighting the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. And just like any battleship, everybody has a role. Everybody has a job to do. And our number one chief primary job is to love on one another and carry each other's burdens. And so if you're one of those folks that kind of lives in isolation inside the body of Christ, may I encourage you to go to a group or go to a Bible study or seek an opportunity to serve. My brother Al, for the first 5 years of his membership at a given church, he would come to the church late, he would sit, not sing, and leave early, and wait in the parking lot. He was an introvert, wait in the parking lot for his wife Marty to come out. And finally, you know, after 45 minutes, she came out of the church. Why? She was talking to everybody. And it would infuriate her that he didn't see the church as family. Finally, through a lot of encouragement, he became part of a life group. He got to meet people well. He eventually led that life group and found out that he had the gift of encouragement, but not only that, the gift of teaching. All he needed to do was understand he's part of a family, and so are you. You know what I encourage you to do today? So many times at the end of a service, what do? We get up, we look for somebody we know, and we talk to them. May I encourage you today, at the end of the service, take 3 minutes, look for somebody you don't know, introduce yourself, get to know them, and your friends will still be around after 3 or 4 minutes. And if the conversation lags, you can say, okay, I'm going to go talk to my friends now. You don't say that to them, by the way. You think that in your heart. But I want to make this church as encouraging, as friendly, as family-oriented as possible. Why? Because that's what the church in part is for. When we gain access through the door of Jesus Christ, we become family. And finally, when you enter the door of a house, you find food. Think about Thanksgiving. You travel all those miles, you go to see your Aunt Louie or Uncle Louie or Aunt Lisa or whoever it is, and your grandma, your grandpa, whoever it is, and you walk in the house and it's Thanksgiving and these wonderful embers, this marvelous smell just emanates throughout the house. And all of a sudden you get hungry. You want to be fed. The other day, we went to my son and daughter-in-law's house, Ben and Ashley Ullman, and Ashley made this wonderful chicken meal, like chicken burritos, and just an hour before, I had had a donut, you know what I mean? Okay, and I came to their house, and I smelled this stuff, and immediately, I was hungry, and I wanted to eat. Do you come to church hungry for the Word of God? When you leave this place, do you rub your tummy in a figurative sense and say, I'm full? Because we offer a five-course meal here. We do. And you read the Word on your own, and that's wonderful. But when you come to church, you're reminded of the covenant that God made with you in His baptism, where He said, you belong to me, and nothing can separate you from my love. When you come to the Lord's Supper, you're receiving the bread and wine, in with and under, the body and blood of Christ is found. And receiving that for the nourishment and strength of your soul. When you come to this place, you confess your sins. And then what do we say as pastors? We say, your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When you come to this place, you're the proclamation of the law and the gospel, telling us despite our sin, Jesus loves us just the same. And He died and He rose again. So our sins could be forgiven and we are heirs of heaven. Is that not home cooking? Can I get an amen? That's the food. The food for our soul. And I said this in the first service, and I'll say it again. We don't believe in once saved, always saved. In other words, once you put your trust in Christ, you're saved forever. Because the devil is a roaring lion seeking someone whom he may devour. And what does he want to do to you? He wants to destroy your faith in Jesus Christ. And when the adversities of life come, he wants you to doubt whether God is real, whether Christ saves, and whether heaven is a real place. He wants you to doubt all of that. And so what do we need to combat him? We need the Word of God. And the Word of God is proclaimed at this church and every Christian church worldwide. And when we come, we're nurtured. We're receiving spiritual food to fight against the devil tooth and nail. And so we put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the gospel of peace. And all of that comes through the food, the nurturing that comes when you enter this place and receive the nourishment that only God can give. So when we enter the door, we find shelter. Enter the door of Jesus Christ, we find shelter for the storms of life. Rest in it. When we enter the door through faith in Jesus Christ, we find family in the body of Christ. Connect to it. When we enter the door of Jesus Christ, we find food for the soul. Feed on it. Jesus said, I'm the door. We enter that door. We find shelter. We find family. We find food. And that's why Jesus said, I am the door. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this time together. And we know, Heavenly Father, that in the midst of all the struggles we go through in life, that nothing can separate us from your love. We know that when we are alone and abandoned and feel forsaken, the church becomes our family. Thank you for that family. And God, we know that in the church and through the reading of the Word and fellowship of the saints, we are given spiritual food that nurtures us along the way. Oh God, how we need that spiritual food on a regular basis. So feed us, God. Help us to take what we've learned today and been challenged with today and put it into practice, knowing, Jesus, that you are the door, that you provide shelter, you provide family, and you provide us with food to nurture us and feed us until we're in heaven with you. In the precious name of you, Lord Jesus Christ, We pray all these things. Amen. Please stand. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated once again.